evening, everyone. This is Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango, Gordon, for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. We'll use the call sign Kilo 2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, the call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. We are on 146.79 tonight. Technical difficulties are preventing us from using the EchoLink-enabled 146.955 owned by the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. So we would like to thank them for the use of their repeater. We will be thanking the Bergen County FM Association for use of their repeater tonight. Before we get started, I should probably describe how the TechNet operates. TechNet operates in the following manner. We're welcome to talk about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, the wonderful things about our lives that depend on any and all of those things. And we hope that you'll check in whether or not you have a question or a comment, because often if we know you're there, we can address the detail level of the conversation or an aspect of a topic that's brought up in a manner which we might find, or you might find, more appealing. So that's the basic game plan here. So the way this adventure works is you check in with your call sign, your name, then you indicate whether or not you have a question or a comment, basically it goes like this. You use your call sign, say WXYZ, you give your name, let's say Fred, and you'll say, I have a question, or I have a question or a comment, or I have none of the above. Pretty straightforward. So, we have many blessings in amateur radio and technology that we are somewhat adept in varying ways to use on a daily basis. So, hopefully you'll participate again, whether or not you have a specific question or a comment. We look forward to your checking in. So, with that, let's start with the alpha calls. We haven't started with alpha calls in a very long time. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Alrighty. Well, that was a crashing success. Hi, hi. So let's try something else. How about the whiskey calls? Any station whose call sign begins with whiskey, please call K2BAR. With your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
This is W2JEK, Don, with questions.
Evening, Donald. I gotcha. Any other whiskey stations? Alrighty. Any November stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Okie doke. We'll try now the Kilo 2s. That means the first two letters of your call sign are Kilo, followed directly by the number 2. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
K2DSL, David. No comment, no question. Just wondering why we're not on the other repeater, which I thought you said we'd be on.
It's broke, Jim. Or it's dead, Jim. Hi, David.
Okay. That could explain it.
Excellent. All right. We'll find out why later, but Andy's looking into it right now. And the other Kilo 2s?
K2, Zulu, Charlie, Dave, no questions, no comments.
Good evening, Dave. K2, Zulu, Charlie, the other Kilo 2 who checked in underneath you. Go ahead.
K2, Zulu, Oscar.
Evening, Jim. Any question or comment?
No questions. I do have one minor comment.
Surely. All right, we'll get to you. Any other Kilo 2? Okay, there was a station there. Was that a Kilo 2? Okay, any other Kilo station of any kind?
F2ID. Ben, I have a question and a comment.
You have 2ID, that's welcome to you, Ben. I have your question, your comment. Any other Kilos? Okay, any other call signs wishing to check in to the TechNet, please call K2VAR.
K2VAR, this is Antonio. No questions. I was looking for you on 955. I just couldn't seem to bring it up.
That seems to be our dilemma tonight. In fact, let me make it a quick blast. Do you have a question or comment? Whoops, I'm hearing something. Hold on a second. Stand by one, guys. Okay, so the diagnosis is that the controller works, but for whatever reason the repeater is not responding to the command. So actually if the controller is responding to the command, the repeater is not acting on the commands for whatever reason, so there's probably some other maybe power breaking thing. W2TTT. So any other stations checking into the TechNet, please call. Oh, first of all, before I do that, Antonio, did you have a question or comment for the net?
Questions, no comments, thank you.
You have a question but no comment?
No question, no comment.
I got you. Okay, anybody else?
NS2K.
NS2K. Good evening, James. Any questions or comments for you?
Not at this point.
Just to remind everybody, we have the VHF contest this Saturday. All right, anybody else?
Here is November 2, India Charlie Lima, N2ICL.
N2ICL. Good evening. Your name, and do you have a question or comment, sir?
My name is Kevin, and I'm in Hawthorne, Passaic County. And for Noel and to OEL, who is listening, is he aware that there's an NO2EL who was on 145.37 at the same time he was on 70 earlier? Coincidental. There's an NO2EL. No biggie. You might like just chuckle that there's another vanity call with his name.
Yes, and Mr. Sheffin pronounces his name Noel as opposed to Noel.
I stand corrected. Noel. This is N2ICL.
You are right about the spelling. Very good. Thank you. Very good, Kevin. Welcome aboard. Any other stations for the net? Okie dokie. So, we have two questions, two comments, and probably a generalized announcement about the VHF contest this weekend. So, let us begin. W2JEK, Don, your question, sir. This is K2BAR.
This is W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. I got booked to Joe Mee, K2JT, yesterday, and he had gone down to the coffee clutch on Tuesday morning, and he got there about 9 o'clock, and he was going in one of the doors, and some security guard told him he needed some kind of an ID card with a photo on it that was issued by the mall security office. So he was not allowed to enter the mall at that time to go to the coffee clutch. So I was wondering if anybody else had a similar problem. Back to that, W2JEK.
Wow, I don't know. Anybody have a comment on that? What day of the week was this?
Of course.
It's on Tuesday. Does somebody have a comment? Over.
This is K2ZO. Do I have it?
Edge.
Has never stopped any of us. However, I am aware that there are walkers there who come in and walk early in the morning, and they seem to have some kind of an ID on them. But they've never stopped us when we go in there for coffee. He wasn't carrying anything unusual, was he?
Not that I know of, over.
Well, it'll be interesting. I'll bring it up on the net tomorrow morning because a lot of those guys will be over there.
Go ahead, Don. sir.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what entrance he went into. The fellows that usually go if you go in by the Old Navy entrance, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Jim? Over.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what entrance he tried to go in. Maybe he went somewhere where it was secure.
No, that could be. Next time I talk to him, I'll advise him about that. Okay, I guess that's enough about this. Thanks a lot. Back to that. W2JK.
Well, it's certainly a goodie. I will say that. Alrighty. Very good. There's one. So, Jim, why don't you come forth with your comment? KQZO, K2BAR.
Okay, KQBAR, this is K2ZO. Just wanted to comment on the antenna that we were looking at Kit Night last night. We were looking at the compact 40 through 6 meter antenna made by Radio Works. It's an off-center bed, kind of like the Carolina Windham. I put it up inside a condo today for George, WB2WWU. Seems to work quite well. Its SWR seems to be low. We thought we would need a tuner, but looks like, we didn't seem to need a tuner. A little bit high on 15, but on the other bands, it was fine. Just thought I'd pass that info along, because I know a lot of people were curious about it last night.
Okay, it's the Radio Works. What is it called? It's how long is it? And is it good on 80?
No, they do make one for 80, but this one is 40. It's called a compact 40, and it's a little shorter than 40 meters, and it's designed to be put up in a bent configuration. You don't need to run it straight out. In fact, it even has insulators on it where the point where they recommend that you bend it, and it works quite well. If you take a look on their website, you can see the antenna. So they must be doing something different to get it to work that way. Perhaps a different style of ballon or something in there, because it is shorter than normal, guys.
Very cool. All right. Well, it's always an adventure. Anybody have any questions or comments for Jim on the subject?
This is K2DSL. Did you make any contacts?
No, we did not make any contacts. I just checked the SWR and everything else on it, and we couldn't. I mean, there were people we were hearing, but not very many. And so we're going to probably try to do something this evening here with it.
Okay, thanks, K2DSL.
Okie doke. Well, we live, we learn. All right. That's pretty cool. Before we proceed, are there any other check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net? This is K2BAR.
KO2OK, good evening.
You found us. Hello, Bennett. You have a question or comment?
Good evening, Gordon. No, not yet. I've just been listening for a couple minutes so far, so I missed initial check-in. Sorry about that. But no questions at the moment, but I'll be listening for more.
Well, you know, we were... in hunt us, find us mode here today. There's a problem with at least the RF portions of the of 955. We're not sure what's going on, but the controller responds to commands, but it does not come up on the air. So we have to work on that. So who knows? Alrighty. Very good. Any other check-ins for that? All right, yeah, I want to thank Noel for running the net last week, that was a very kind thing. My wife and I had an impromptu opportunity to go run away as a couple on Thursday night, and so we took it, and it was a lot of fun. Went to a bed and breakfast, had just a nice relaxing time away. And the boys behaved themselves, didn't set the house on fire, didn't burn it down, didn't get the police coming, so all was good. Anyway. So, let's see, moving right along. KF2ID, you have a question and a comment. This is K2BAR.
Okay, first is a comment about the fox hunt. In the last fox hunt, or my first fox hunt, a lot of people, including myself, found that when they got close to the fox, their system was overloaded, and even I understand people with high level of attenuation, attenuators are also overloaded due to the fact that the cables are not perfectly shielded, and some signal gets through it, and etc. So I just thought that a very simple solution to this problem, if other people think it's a problem, would be to use two transmitters, one at the normal power level, which I think was running about 2 watts, and another one at a 100 milliwatt level, or 200 milliwatt level, the lowest you can get out of one of those, out of the handheld, and at a different frequency, of course. And that way, when somebody gets close, they can switch over to the other frequency. This would, I think, would make it easier for people with the most rudimentary equipment to hone in on a box and be successful at it. get the feeling of success. Makes things a little bit easier, perhaps, I don't know. But it does make it easier for people with minimal equipment to be successful. That's my comment. The next is a question. The question is totally different. Let me drop out for a moment.
Can we have a discussion on your comment? Would you like some discussion on your comment?
I don't know. If anybody wants to discuss, it's fine with me. I was just an offer, but if anyone wishes to discuss it, go ahead.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments on Ben's comment?
KQDSL.
Go ahead, David.
I didn't find the one that Noel was at, but when we got close to the one that Gordon was overseeing, I just unscrewed my antenna off of my radio, and with no antenna, I was able to get pretty close to determining where it was without it. So with no fancy equipment or anything, that's what I did back then.
Okay, anybody else? Yeah, I think the complexity of a second transmitter might be as much of a challenge as anything else, but your point's well taken, Ben. You certainly could use David's technique. We've already been promised for the upcoming event that if you can find Noel, you will find the fox. Unlike the last two where, either I or Charlie were lurking. That was a different kind of event. In fact, much to Bruce's chagrin, he and Chuck found me, and not the last Chuck, but the one before, and said, "We found you, we found you." And I said, "Uh-huh. We win, uh-uh." And, of course, then Jim and company found the fox at the end of the road. I think, one of the things we're trying to accomplish here, too, is to encourage people to be observant, in plain sight, but observant, and look for logical conclusions. Because, remember, this is a radio direction finding and search kind of training exercise. So there's a purpose to this at the end of the day. So that comes, part of it. We've all agreed that they need to be plainly accessible and determinant as the target from the walking path or the road or whatever it is. But, you can't camouflage it and bury it. You can't throw it up in a tree and put it in a hole. It's got to be something that people would, again, readily recognize as a possible target in plain sight. I think that's it. Anybody else have any comments? All right, well, we'll keep your idea in mind, I'm sure, for future. I think that the consideration you're asking for is one of several ways to make it better for people with more rudimentary equipment to participate, Ben. Back to you for your comments, KF2ID, K2BAR.
Well, I don't understand your comment about the complexity. It's just a simple, another simple walkie-talkie, the same one you usually can, set to a different frequency that everybody knows. So beforehand and carefully explain. And I understand it's going to be a handout this time around, and carefully explain in the handout. So you just program both one in one memory, the other in another memory. Well, if you know how to do that, you keep it in mind. You know at least how to change the frequency on your equipment, even if you're not great at programming it. So I don't quite see the added complexity. Just another a little walkie-talkie, a small one, a low power one, and another frequency. So, but if you think it makes the thing too easy, so to speak, I don't know. But that's about the end of my comments. So if there are any other comments, turn it back to WK2BAR.
What I meant by the complexity is that you need to have two controllers for the two radios on the two different frequencies. Often the person who's providing the box has their radio, period. We don't have a club system, and it probably shouldn't have one, otherwise it'll become too predictable all the time. But, you know, if there's certainly a second transmitter available, we could probably do that. But, you know, we'll see. If the person is manually keying it with a mobile rig on one frequency and handy talkie on the other, that's one way of doing it. But if you're trying to, you know, not sit on the target, then it becomes a little more complex. Anybody else have any comments? Okay. Any other check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, let's go to Ben's question. KF2ID, KTBAR.
Okay, well, I was just starting looking into memory from my computer, and I find that there's all different kinds of memories. DDRs, DDR2, 3, some other kind of memories. So I wonder if we have any people here who the RAM I'm talking about, the read-only, or the random access memory. I wonder if anybody can give me a very quick tutorial as to the differences between the different types of memory.
I guess I'll try.
Hi, David.
K2 DSL. The most important thing is almost only one memory works in your given computer. So the fact that there are all these other ones is kind of irrelevant. The reason they're different is different speeds, different bus speeds, different sizes, memory error correction, built-in, error correction not built-in. It's the same reason that there's all different CPUs and all that kind of stuff. So if you're not sure which one you need, probably the best site to go to is a site called Crucial.com, C-R-U-C-I-A-L, Crucial.com. And that allows you to select your manufacturer, and then your model, and then, you know, or your series, and then your model. And what it'll do is it'll tell you everything about it. It'll tell you what memory you need. It'll tell you how much memory, whether you have one slot or two slots or more, and what configurations and maximum memory you can put in. And use that as your basis. You don't have to buy the memory from them, but that'll give you enough information that you can go to Best Buy or look elsewhere online if you want, Amazon or anywhere, and get the memory you need. But you got to get the memory that Crucial.com will show is what your computer needs. So that's like it in a nutshell without going into the specifics of the various different formats. Back to next, K2DSL.
Okay. KF2ID, go ahead.
Okay, well, my computer is a sort of a hand-built computer, not from any particular manufacturer. I did find out which memory was necessary, but my computer, everything is what they call a crossover computer. Very confusing. There are two different kinds of memories in there, and you can't put them both in. You have to choose one or the other. And so that was
I got the information of which memory to buy by giving a manufacturer, I forget what his name was, who said he owned manufactures their own memory, the motherboard number. So, but I was just curious if there was, what big changes there were in the different memories, and maybe the large group differences. I mean, this is a technical curiosity on my part as to what the differences were between the different memories. I understand that there are differences, and I just wondered what group had what difference, if anybody knew that offhand. But that was fundamentally my question. This KF2ID with K2PAR.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, well, Crucial.com was the major benefactor of that. Let's take a pause here and see if there's anybody else who'd like to join the net, and then I have a couple other topics. Anybody would like to join us? This is KTBAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. All stations are welcome to check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above. Please call KTBAR. Alrighty. Well, before we head off to VHF contest land, and we need to explain some things about that, I did want to point out that I had a good experience with HP, with Hewlett-Packard, regarding laptop repairs. Here's what I had to do. Number one, I was a bad boy, and when I first got my laptop a couple years back, maybe 3 years back, I neglected to make those recovery disks they tell you to make when you first boot up. I was so anxious to get going, and shucks, shame on me. And so I had to go spend the $20, and it cost me $20 to order a replacement, or actually order the recovery disk online. It was great. It was no problem. And it came in 2 days' time and allowed me to reconstruct my entire system. And it took another day to download all of Microsoft's updates and all of HP's updates and load security and all that other stuff. But, it all worked out okay. It really was a good thing. I also had to replace the keyboard. And, it's very daunting when you flip the computer over, a laptop in particular. You got 50,000 screws. You're not sure what's going to fall out where and which ones you need to make work and which ones you don't. But I got to say, it worked out very, very well. And, the little edge connector that popped in to replace the keyboard, grabbed the ribbon, edge of the ribbon cable and laid it down and buttoned it up, and all was fine. I did have a little bit of a complexity because one of the screw heads had been opened before and had been stripped, so I ended up having to drill it out, which is a very delicate operation, but even that worked out fine. And the computer, even though it's lacking that one screw, is back together just fine. I did not replace the fan, and I don't know if you guys can hear that. I'll give it a pause here. You may not have heard that. I'll try it again. Every so often, I get that little rattly sound from the fan, and so I'm going to order one of those for a very small amount of money, and I'll repair that. This is a laptop that when I took over to a couple of computer places, priced up about $350, $400 to, replace the keyboard, the labor, probably the fan, the replacement disc, and all that stuff. I did it for just about $100, and with the fan, it would probably be about $110, $120. So it's by far not a bad deal. And, it's a DV6000 or 6275. So it's a nice, reasonably large format screen, reasonable processor, et cetera. And so it's back and running. And so I have to get rid of that annoying fan, but, you know, it just goes to show you that without too much trouble, just a screwdriver and some patience, you can, you can repair your laptop and be back on the road and save yourself the price of a new computer, which I was all set to do, and I said, wait a minute, let me think about that. So, here we are. So it's going to be my in-shack machine to run ham applications. I'm looking forward to the idea of getting rid of the two tower machines, giving one to my son, the other one, which I'll probably use as either a server or as a spare machine for financial purposes. But anyway, that's pretty much how we're going. So has anyone else had that experience of replacing parts in their laptops, et cetera, or even their desktops? It's KTBAR. No one fixed their computer?
I replaced them. I'm on my notebook that's like 6 years old. The screen's falling off. I'll have to get a new something soon.
Okay. Well, see, this is a machine that you know, is pretty beat up because it lives a hard life, even though it's not a tough book. But often it would go where the same place as my tough book would go, and albeit in a moisture-resistant case. So, you know, it's kind of nice. I also have a DB1040, which I recovered pretty well and got that working. It's an older series machine, but that I use for little portable applications. I want something a little smaller and to take with me other than my tough book, so that's kind of nice as well. So David, you've done repairs on your machine?
Upgrades more than repairs, and typically for what you're going to spend to do some of the repairs, I'd rather just put it towards a new computer. I mean, 6-year-old computer, which was fast at the time, is now dog slow compared to another computer, which is also what's killing me with this one. Back to that.
No, I understand that, and that's a good point, but, you know, this computer would cost about, the way it's configured, probably about $600 minimum today, and so I figured it was worth $100 to fix it. $200, I think I'd say, I don't think so. $300, definitely not. $400, absolutely not. So that's kind of where we were. So, but this is the one that's got a camera built in. It's got, you know, a couple of gigs of memory, and pardon me, the display is shiny bright. It's not scratched up or beat up too badly, so, you know, again, the fan is the only thing that's left, and I wanted to make sure I got the keyboard in right before I invested in the fan, so that's kind of where I was. So, very good. Any other comments about this kind of mess? We'll go, otherwise we'll move up to the next subject. Well, this is going to be my multimedia ham kind of thing, and it'll be a lot of fun. So, let's see what else we have. We have the VHF consoles to discuss. Do we have someone here who would like to make an announcement regarding the VHF contest, when to meet, where to meet, etc.? Please call KTBAR. Okay, not hearing anything. I'll try one more time, otherwise I'll wing it.
I guess I can do for what I know.
You'll do fine. Better listen to me, Gas.
KTBAR, KTDSL. So, I guess barring any weather events, that we're going to meet at the Barra Garage around 8 o'clock. Bruce is getting the truck and will meet us there around 9 o'clock. So the first hour we'll just pull stuff out, get it organized, and then we'll load up, cars beforehand, and then the truck, and then we'll head up to the Nike Missile Base and get everything set up. The forecast doesn't look exceptionally well on Saturday, but Sunday looks good. And I think that's what the plan is, at least to start. Back to that.
Yeah, Actually, I want to add in one other thing. There was a public service activity in the morning before the truck was due to arrive at the garage in Dumont, and Steve W2ML was looking for bodies to, I think, do a 5K or 10K, I think it's a 10K, run in Dumont. I think they were gathering a little before 8. You might want to call Steve W2ML or email him, whiskey2mikelima@arrl.net, and see what he needs in the way of operators. I think he was looking for about 8 guys, and the whole thing will be over before 9, he thinks. He'll be able to help load the vehicle and then head up to the mountain for a day and a night's worth of activity. There was some discussion as to whether or not Denver wanted to stay over on Saturday night, and we would need 2 adults to do that. Chuck Lemkin and Bruce and I were talking about that. So I have not heard back from them as to what they want to do, but if supervision is needed, that's fine. But we also need we need 2 adults anyway up there overnight just to supervise the gear. One year in September, I think it was 2 years ago, I was all alone by myself up there overnight, and that really wasn't very smart. So we do need some volunteers to think about that requirement. Let's see what else. I think that's about it. Anybody have any questions? I think that's K2AMI. Bye for Tony, because he's the man. So, yeah, we gotta solve that little dilemma. It's a school is back in. There's also the CERT exercise. The statewide CERT exercise on Saturday in Bergen County is going to have one of its sites at Northern Valley Demarest High School in Demarest, and I'll be there most of the day. After I grab a bite to eat and kiss my bride, I'll come visit y'all and work late into the night. I may or may not stay up all night. I'm only going to stay up there overnight, frankly, unless there's another adult there. Otherwise, I will call Denver's mom and arrange for him to get home. I just don't think it's right to, number one, a kid should not be left alone up there with an adult, just one, and number two, no adults should be up there by themselves, period, just for their own safety. So, anyway, having said that, I think we'll be in good shape. So, let's see if Tony's back in here now. I filibustered a little bit. K2AMI, K2BAR.
This is K2AMI with RNS. Gordon, we are very, very concerned about the weather event for the weekend. We've looked at the weather for tomorrow, and it seems that to be a disaster for us to do it on Friday. However, how much will hang over on Saturday morning? Has been forecast to be as much as 30% chance of rain on Saturday. We've experienced that contest on a rainy event before, and we've lost some equipment. Jim Jackson and I both agree that if it's going to rain, we don't want to lose equipment if we want to get wet. So at this point, I have an appointment with Bruce and Jim and me at 11 o'clock tonight, and we'll have a discussion as to whether or not to take the forecast that we hear tonight and evaluate it and decide on whether to go or not to go. And so tomorrow morning, there'll be an announcement of some type, probably an email to all the members on a positive or a negative direction. Let me drop it. Now, this second personal event is that I've, as you may have experienced at Sunday's meeting, I was quite down with a bad sore throat and haven't quite left my system yet. You may hear my voice be slightly off key or slightly off mellowness. I'm still running a bit of a problem with that. Taking medication, I took the last pill of 3 this afternoon, and it's a antibiotic type thing which does knock the devil out of me, because the side effect is diarrhea. So I'm not sure, even if we do proceed, how much of an effort I can put into the contest. So, quite honestly, the contest is in a shaky condition at this point, which will be decided tonight and be announced tomorrow morning. I hope it goes through, but I really don't see too much change in the forecast. Even some of the weather channels have increased that 30% to 40 or 50% chance of rain on Saturday. Unfortunately, Sunday will be perfect. Where it stands right now, stand by for an announcement in the morning, either email or on repeaters, and we'll let you know. Back to you, Gordon, for any questions or comments.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you how you were feeling. That was job one, but okay. You answered that, and hope you're on the mend. It sounds like it, but you know, I can understand being a little run down. Anybody have any comments? Because I do have one, but I'll wait. Right, Tony, that's fine. Other thought that crossed my mind is that maybe we would like, if the club is not going to do a full-blown effort and we have the, we basically are on the hook with the permit and stuff, maybe we want to make the site available for hilltopping, by anybody who wants to go up there within the club community. We'd need to find some way to coordinate that because I don't know what the access control issues are. We definitely don't want to handle that on the air. But it might be fun for those who have mobile facilities to just drive on up there and, you know, spend a few hours on one band or another and, you know, whether it's with FM or with something else, and, you know, as part of their roving or just so they can test their gear. That might be fun as well. So let's think about that. Just for your reference, on Sunday evening, there's going to be fireworks. I know that's always after we're done because we always pack up early. But there will be fireworks at Dominican College, and there's some sort of open to the public festival with food and such like that at Dominican College right there, from 5 until 9, and then 9 o'clock is the fireworks. So people should be advised of that, too. There'll be some fun in the fireworks. We've actually seen those fireworks before in the September contest and always wondered what they were. And as it happens, the committee chairman of our Boy Scout troop happened to mention this to me, and I asked him, has this event happened before? He says, yeah. And that explains why we always saw fireworks in the south and west of the site. dear me. So that's kind of funny. So anyway. Tony, any more from you?
Turning the permit of standby. My voice cracked. I'll have to stand by a moment.
You take your time. Yeah, I guess the question is just, you know, if we're on the hook for the permit, we paid for it anyway, can we get some use out of it if the club does not decide to launch a full-blown effort? Might be something to consider. Because maybe some of the guys would like to find out what it's like to operate from Hilltop, because we all live in holes. Well, not all of us, but most of us. Anyway. K2BAR.
K2AMI, back again for a few comments. And that is, the agreement that I have with the Parks Department is that I will be Monday or Tuesday for the events that we use, for the time that we use the permit on Saturday or Sunday. We have a permit. We're allowed to go up there, but the usage is $50 a day. And I have to notify them 24 hours before we go, whether we're going or not. Potentially, we could be billed $100 if we don't cancel on Friday. If we do cancel on Friday, there's no charge.
another tier at the end, but yeah, we got the point. So so we have to notify them sometime tomorrow. Well, my suggestion would be then to make the decision to notify them like at 3-ish tomorrow based on our latest understanding of the weather, and make the overall decision as to what we're doing either at the same time or prior to that. You know, because, again, I think it would be a lot of fun to have the opportunity to run up there and operate. If it's a Saturday night to a Sunday night, that's one day, hopefully. Or to a Sunday afternoon, that's one day. The town probably would okay with that. So, as opposed to Saturday morning to Sunday afternoon, which then is essentially 2 days. So, yeah, I'm sure you can work it out, but... Given what you were saying about the weather, I'm not anticipating anybody being there Saturday afternoon. It wouldn't be till Saturday night anyway. So that was kind of my thought. So see what you can negotiate for us and minimize the cost of the club and maximize the opportunity space for the members to operate. That's my only advice. And let us know what your decisions are, and we will roll with that. K2AMI, one more time. Let's see if you can get in. W2TTT K2BAR.
Charges are going through the final gate, unlocking the final gate and going up to Nike Hilltop. You can use any portion of the park up to the Nike gate. There is a Nike lane that progresses down towards the repeater site to the south of where we operate, which is no charge. You could operate at a pretty good elevation there if you wanted to do it without any conflict or involvement with the park commission. To get up to the top of the hill and go into the gate is where the charge is supposed to apply.
I understand that. It's just, you don't have any visibility to New England, and you can't be there after dark. That's the other part of it. So, again, I'm thinking Saturday night when the weather clears up, that might be when you want to actually operate. Not to mention, oh, dark 30 on Sunday morning before maybe they want to actually have people at the general part of the park. But anyway, again, do what you can. And, you know, if we can knock the if the club is not going to make a full-blown effort, we should see if we can get in Saturday night to Sunday afternoon with a one-day fee as opposed to a two-day fee. I think that's kind of where I was going. Just a thought. KTBA.
KTBA, again, with the final thought. Now, is there anybody who does operate, please send their logs to the or to GoPro Log.
Next week, if it's back up, I'm sure it will be. It's been an adventure tonight, but thank everybody for joining us. W2JEK, K2DSL, K2Z Charlie, K2ZO, KF2ID, N2OEL, NS2K, N2ILC, Kevin, welcome aboard, and KO2OK Bennett, thank you for joining us as well. And now Tony, K2AMI. Again, hope you feel better. Godspeed all and have a good one. This is W2TTT.